Sounds to me like you're daunted. Say it again like you're undaunted.
Good afternoon, good evening, good night, whenever you're listening to this, whenever you're watching this. This is the Often Daunted Podcast, and I am your host, Burke White. Today, I will be recapping Indiana's 87-71 victory over South Carolina. Of course, I'll be recapping that before getting into any of the Indiana-related headlines, onto the national and conference news after that. Following that, we will get on to the flaunted and the daunted for this week. That is my winners and losers. And then it's on to Burke's Big Five. This week, it is Burke's Big Five, Big Ten coaches of all time. I wanted to go through, and again, Burke's Big Five, always just my opinion, okay? So after Burke's Big Five, it's going to be previewing the upcoming game with UNC Greensboro, and then it's on out of here with a Hoosier history hit, as it always is. That was just a message for any of the returning viewers, any of the returning listeners. If you are a returning listener and you haven't subscribed, liked, whatever the case may be, please feel free to. It doesn't cost you nothing, only helps my ego. If you are a new follower, a new listener, yet we did see a spike in the listener side last week. I'm hoping that we can keep it rolling. And yeah, just for any of you who just joined the show, if you feel like you like it by the end of it, go ahead, leave your true feelings. I welcome them all. I just want your opinion. If you want to follow me across all socials, it's at Often Daunted across everything. Apparently, there's some new blue sky I have to figure out about, but update for that. I just can't appreciate you enough for finding the show. And without further ado, let's just get right into Indiana's win over South Carolina. Following Indiana's 87-71 win over the South Carolina Gamecocks, Mike Woodson had this to say regarding it. He said, "We scored 87 points, and I don't even know how we got there because I don't think we played great offense tonight." And not playing great offense while shooting 51% from the floor, 47% from three, and 82% from the free throws. Come on, Mike. Come on, Mike. Mike Woodson doing his best Kurt Cignetti impression right there, scowling over great performances by his team. I love it. I love that. Hey, if Kurt Cignetti's few of his habits can wear off on the rest of the coaches around this institution, we're only going to be better for it. We're only going to be better for it. I love that. Sorry, had to bring up football right at the top. You know, I'm just champing at the bit for this Ohio State game. Right at the top, player of the game. You know who it is. Player of the game, Miles Rice, for that one. Miles Rice, 23.7 for 10 from the floor, 3 for 4 from three-point range, perfect at the free throw line for 6 shots, all in 37 minutes, and that was adding 4 rebounds and 3 assists to that total. And as far as the team overall, like I said previewing this one, I just wanted to see 40 minutes of Hoosier basketball. I just wanted to see the Hoosiers show up for 40 minutes. And credit to the staff, this may have been the closest that we've been to a 40-minute performance. I would almost call this a 40-minute performance. I'm really tempted to call this a true 40-minute performance because the Hoosiers looked really good. Three-point shooting, first half, 5 for 9, 8 for 17 on the day. Just kept it going throughout the entire game. Indiana, three-point shooting like that, that's been our kryptonite. That's been our kryptonite. Sure, again, 17 shots. Finding that much success, you would hope maybe we add a few more to the volume. But you guys, the more shots we see go in, the more we're going to want to take. It's all relative. I love the way the Hoosiers shot from beyond the arc here. I really do. Rome wasn't built in a day. We have to get there slowly. And this was a nice step in that direction. I was wondering how we would respond to a team like South Carolina with a reputation for just gritty, strength-driven wins. And the Hoosiers tied the rebound battle, 34-34. I thought that kind of spoke volumes to the tenacity that both sides were bringing. I mean, but Indiana was meeting the challenge. They were meeting the challenge of just energy and grit, and I loved it. I loved it. The Hoosiers looked great in this. I don't want to look too much into it because teams can look a lot different by the end of the year, but I'm very optimistic following this South Carolina win. I think that North Florida team might be better than everyone thinks they are, But I think South Carolina, this win will be good. Points off turnovers. Indiana gets 11 turnovers for 17 points. South Carolina gets 12 turnovers for 9 points. The point differential could be like, yeah, you would think with more turnovers, they'd get more points off turnovers. But I think that it speaks to when the turnovers occurred. Indiana had only like 6 turnovers before handing the last 5 in garbage time. So, yeah, maybe South Carolina wasn't looking to run as they were getting their tails handed to them in the last minutes. But nonetheless, Indiana being able to capitalize every bit of on those turnovers, that's the difference between just, I mean, close losses and running away with it 87-71 at home against a power four opponent like this. As far as free throws go, we've only ever whined about free throws in Assembly Hall, and it looks like they're finally starting to fall. 27 for 33 from the free throw line. That is success, and that is volume. That is us seeing that we finally are having some success at that line. Let's go get to that line. I loved seeing it, and credit to the staff for really making it a priority. I mean, you saw that it was a priority with how they just attacked Colin Murray Boyles. That dude was, I previewed him as the key player, and I'm sure most previews of this game did. But Colin Murray Boyles ends his night with 19 minutes, 2 points on 1-for-4 shooting, 6 rebounds. So, I mean, in those 19 minutes, he still made a difference there. But holding him to 2 points, that's huge for the Hoosiers. He was their leading scorer heading into that game. If you hold the other team's leading scorer to 2 points, more often than not, you're going to have a pretty damn good chance of winning that game. Credit to the Hoosiers for just making it a priority going at him. Like when we got a few fouls on him, we just did not let up. Credit to Mike Woodson and the staff for drawing it up like that. Or just credit for Miles for initiating plays that led to that. All the way around, credit for limiting Colin Murray Boyles and what he could do to us. The Indiana backcourt is a revelation. It's what we've wanted to see all along. Our guards couldn't miss. 2 oops for like the oop for the bucket that Kanan had was absurd. The guard play just all around fun. How often do I get to say that? I haven't gotten to say that since apart from a great Jalen Hood-Schifino performance. But even then, I think they're more reliable than Jalen. Like for every night where Jalen went out there and won us a Purdue game, he also had like 3 nights where he went 2 for like 13. He was hot and cold, but these guys seem reliable. Miles Rice just, I'm so happy that this is the guy we gave the keys to just the program to. Miles threw the first 17 points, 6 for 7 from the floor. He came out of the gate on fire. The workload he was asked to manage, like 37 minutes played. It's the volume. It's the efficiency. It's the rebounding and assists. 4 rebounds, 3 assists. He did he did a bit of everything, and he did it so well. This guy is, I'm just so happy that this is our captain moving forward. We have this guy for another 3 years if he doesn't play himself in the NBA. I won't get ahead of myself. Defensively, I like the fight that the Hoosiers showed. That, I mean, being able to battle with them for the rebounds, that's check. Great fight that the Hoosiers can show in that regard. But there was nothing easy on the offensive end for South Carolina. It looked like the Hoosier guards were bumping and stepping in drive paths in a way that just really had the South Carolina guards struggling. Kanan's oop finish. But I mean, in part with that was just Malik and Umar. Yeah, they struggled with producing at the usual rate. You can't say that they didn't. But I feel like we were looking to let our guards win this one far more than we have in the past. This is easily the last Indiana's look to play through the post. Like, and it was awesome to see them find success by playing through the outside. Like, yeah, Indiana is so used to playing through the post. It was a breath of fresh air to see so much of our play dominated by the guards, dictated by the guards. You know, actually, like how basketball should be played, guards dictating what happens on the floor. It's just great to see that, as far as I can tell, these pieces are gelling together. These pieces are going to work. Yeah, that just being able to do it inside and outside, that is being able to get it done in multiple ways. The Indiana program over the last 2-3 years has lacked, you know, multiplicity, has lacked dimensions. Yeah, that's the word for it, dimensions. And just being able to rely on the guard so heavily as we were able to in this one, it gives Indiana dimensions. And I truly appreciate everything that the staff did to bring these guys in and get them locked in so quickly. That being said, if they come out flat again, I'm going to be just sweating it. So let's hope that we see a lot more of this and a lot less of that other just weaker play. Like that one first half, just so bad. But that's in the past. We're on to this one. This South Carolina, great win. We are just focusing on that. Malik had one of the less efficient nights that he's seen, but 4-for-10 from the floor. But his strengths, like the strength and the issues he's presented at the four, were critical to getting Murray Boyles out of this game. Him playing through there, like I'm sure Murray Boyles hacked him up a bit. That got him off the floor. That got their main source of production off the floor. That's how you win some games, you know. That is going to greatly aid us in winning a game. Malik was able to sink his lone three for the day, though. Awesome to see that go in. Awesome to see that drop. I think that was his lone three on the season so far. Here's to a few more dropping. Despite not having the most production that we've seen from him, Mbalo looked so much better than we've seen. Like the numbers don't speak to what you saw. You find maybe the rebounding does, but he had a small volume of shots, one of two on the game. But everything else he did, he did so tough. He did so strong. He did so violently. He was being every bit of the big body we needed down low. 6 blocks aiding the defensive effort. Like I said, any guards who were going in down low, they were either getting scrapped up by our guards or they were getting absolutely sent away by Umar Ballo. 2 seasons ago, Trey Galloway led the Big Ten in three-point percentage. It's happening again. Okay, he's able to take the wide opens only, which I love him taking wide opens because I think he shot 48% from three that one season when he only took the wide opens. And he's currently shooting 66% on the season. Sure, small volume, 2-for-3, but the volume doesn't need to be huge for Trey Galloway. Like that is why he shot at such an effective clip the season before. We don't need the volume. We need the efficiency from that kid, and it's awesome to see that we have it. It's so great to have him coming off the bench and just giving us everything that he brings to the floor. Luke Good, 0-for-3, keep shooting. Nothing else to say there. I mean, just keep shooting. I like his involvement in the offense. He's always looking to get involved, move on the outside, move when he's not directly on the ball or picking the ball or setting the pick. Like, I love his effort. It'll all fall into place. God, let's make a shot, Luke. If I'm nitpicking Bryson's incredible game for a freshman, like 2-for-5, 16 minutes, whoa. 2-for-5, 16 minutes, 4 points on the game. If I'm nitpicking anything, he loves the, speaking to Jalen Hood-Schifino again, he loves the Jalen and Mackey range. Turning down threes to almost make sure that he gets the 4 foot in front of the arc too. I love the shots. I mean, I love the form. I love his talent. I love that he's able to convert so many of those shots, but I don't love the shot. Like, it's so painful to see him keep taking those. And I mean, they're going in, but I mean, maybe it would help him if they didn't. I mean, he's getting a lot of confidence at that range, and that is a scary shot to me. Nonetheless, if he's going to keep sinking them, why not keep taking them? Bryson Tucker is just blowing me away with how we just continue to found money in him. Colin Murray Boyles, again, I said largely non-factor in this game. 2 points lead from their leading scorer. Getting him into foul trouble early greatly handicapped what the South Carolina offense was going to be able to do, just with so much of the game relying on his physicality and the tone he sets in that regard. Pringle, the Alabama transfer, he had a bit of a run out there, but ultimately no one on the Gamecocks really damaged us with the defensive effort that the Hoosiers were bringing across the board here. Overall, I'm very happy with where the Hoosiers are right now. This was a great win. You know, taking it to a power conference opponent by 16 points, even though it is at home. Just following the start that we came out with the game prior, it was so nice to see the Hoosiers. I think they gave us the full 40 here. I really do. I think we got a full 40 performance from the Hoosiers. And if we can get more of those, we're going to be sitting pretty because this team has the talent to really, really do something this year if they're just performing with this kind of energy. Yeah, that was my just a few thoughts on the South Carolina-Indiana game. Again, Indiana 87, South Carolina 71. We're going to pack that one up and we're going to get onto the Indiana news. All right, starting off the Indiana news, it was great to see the girls be able to break the 2-game losing streak with an impressive win over ranked opponent Stanford. I just wanted to give them the shout out right at the top of the Indiana news. Well done, ladies. Cignetti's contract. Yes, we are on to Kurt Cignetti's contract. Props to the Kelly graduates, every single one of you. Whoever had a hand in this, well done. You know, $8 million annually with an additional $1 million retention bonus. Everybody who made this happen, thank you so much. You've given me all I wanted this season. Thank you. We got Kurt. He ain't going nowhere. Indiana football is the emerging superpower, and why would he go anywhere else? Indiana football will once again be the subject of many a puff piece this Saturday as College Game Day and Big Noon Kickoff will both be at Ohio State this Saturday. I just said Saturday twice in the same sentence. Nonetheless, of course, everybody wants a piece of this. Indiana is the best show in college football right now. It's the best story. Yeah, I hate the line best story because it seems like SEC is really using that condescendingly right now. But they can say whatever they want when they're going to try to sell me on like a 7-4 LSU getting in over a 11-1 Indiana or something that I'm sure is coming down the pike. That being said, 11-1 Indiana is false. It's not happening. We're just going undefeated. Indiana. Yeah, next bit of Indiana news. Indiana remains at number 16 following the release of the latest rankings. And understandably so. You know, some teams have jumped us because they have some big wins. Purdue, credit to them for jumping up as high as they did. Yes, it's so disgusting to say on the show, but that was a big win over Alabama. It is in home. It was at home, so take that for what it's worth. But I mean, just with how impressively they beat them, you got to give them credit there. This week, it was awesome to see Kalel and Thomas Bryant back in the house for the South Carolina game. Tyler Hero and Jame Hawkins Jr. Both tagged along for the trip. Yeah, it's just cool to see Thomas Bryant get to see all the renovations. He was really pumped about that IU pro wall. Tyler Hero and Jame Hawkins. Hey, they may not be Jame Hawkins and Tyler Hero. They may not be Hoosiers, but I'm going to speak in the case of Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero was a Calipari Merc. If he wants to be a Hoosier fan, God will him. Like, whatever. I'm so on board with him joining the fan base. Who cares? He was a Wildcat for Cal. He has no allegiance whatsoever. SportsGrid.com released their 65 most improved teams thanks to the portal. Now that we have some actual evidence to point to, here are their most improved teams. I just wanted to actually give you the spot where the Hoosiers are. That's the Hoosiers at number one, Arkansas at number two, Kentucky at number three. The next Big Ten team was Michigan at number six. Pretty hard not to improve from the last place, so credit to them. Lighter news. So I wanted to provide an update on Hoosiers that left. Yes, just looking at the guys who left us this last season in the transfer portal. I wanted to touch base on what they're up to, how they've been faring through these first few games, and just provide that for you. So I'm going to start with Peyton Sparks. Peyton Sparks, so far, he's doing all right. Our guy's getting his legs back. He did have a rough showing against Georgia State, in which he had 20 minutes, 1 point on 0 for 3 from the floor. But he did have two very impressive games in which he got 16 points and 17 points, the first against Indiana State and the second against Franklin. Our guy is, he's finding his footing back and finding a way to contribute to that Ball State Cardinal offense. On top of that, he's currently looking at 2 blocks on the season. So Peyton Sparks, he's finding a way to contribute there. Tamar Bates. Oh, yeah. I actually threw on Tamar Bates and Jordan Geronimo on here. I wanted to see what they were up to. And Jordan Geronimo, I mean, a lot of the same. Right now, he's averaging 12.3 minutes a game, 1 point a game. Yeah, it's more of the Jordan we remember. I was really hoping that he would get a lot of opportunity, a lot of run at Maryland, and we could see a little more from him, and he might be able to unlock, just being closer to home, maybe unlock that gear that I'm... Jordan Geronimo's such an athletic freak that I just thought, man, if he just could put it together, it would be something special. But, yeah, just more of the same right now through the first four. Tamar Bates, yeah, Tamar Bates, he's starting to light it up for the Missouri Tigers. Currently, he is shooting, ooh, let me add these up, 7-20. 13 for 21 from three. Great. I mean, he doesn't have a game where he shot under 50% so far. Yeah, and has taken at least 3 shots a game. Well done. Point totals on the week for him, or point totals on the season, 15-9, 17-13. Tamar Bates finding a way to produce for the Missouri Tigers. Caleb Banks has been the most shocking once I went back to this. He is absolutely balling out for the Tulane Green Wave, shooting 11 for 19 from deep. So it's not even just like he's converting well. He is taking shots. 11 for 19 from deep. That also includes a 25-point game where he shot 69.2% from the field and 62.5% from deep while also knocking down all of his free throws. Yeah, and adding 7 rebounds on that. Caleb Banks just blowing me away with what he's doing at Tulane. Also playing pretty well. I don't think he played in the first two games, but CJ Gunn for DePaul and Chris Holtman playing well in 20.5 minutes average. He currently has 10 points per game and is shooting 28.6% from deep. Yeah, I just wanted to share an update with them because it was a little bit lighter on the Indiana news side. And that is what those Hoosier, once a Hoosier, always a Hoosier. Those guys were part of the team. That is what those Hoosiers were up to. Recruiting notes. After 3 years of courting Bryson Tiller, the top 25 recruit has committed to play for Bill Self in Kansas. Surprise, surprise, surprise. I'm not going to cry over it. Let's not cry over it. We build teams differently. Or at least we're seeing if we can. All right. That's all I got for the Indiana news. Yep. I said it was lighter. I was not lying. Let's get on to the national news, the conference news for you. At the top here, I wanted to use this opportunity to say that the Big East sucks. Villanova lost to Columbia by 10, then lost to St. Joseph, then lost to Virginia by 10. Austin Peay beat Butler on a neutral court. Notre Dame beat Georgetown by 21 points. Hofstra beat Seton Hall. Bum-ass conference in the Big East. I was so sick of hearing about how they get so much hype every season. SEC, too. They suck, too. The Big Ten is back, baby. News out of On3 reported, On3 Sports. New NCAA president Charlie Baker believes there is room for March Madness to expand to 72 or 76 teams. And I say, add these teams, but just do not add another round. If these games want to be like the first four esque and just amongst like the second place mid major teams, sure. But anything else, I'm not liking it. I'm out. This week, the Player of the Week and the Big Ten Freshman of the Week were announced, and the Player of the Week honors went to John Tonji from Wisconsin. He scored a career-high 41 points in Wisconsin's 103-88 win over number 9 Arizona on Friday, and this is the second most points scored in program history. He broke the Wisconsin single-game record for made free throws, finishing with a 21 for 22 clip at the line. Again, he did this. He got 41 points with 22 shots at the line. Okay. Like that makes Zach Edey blush. The only player over the last 30 years to score 40 points and make 20 free throws in a game versus a top 25 opponent. He garners his first Player of the Week award, and the last Player of the Week from Wisconsin was Johnny Davis in 2022. As for Freshman of the Week, those honors went to Dylan Harper. The 6'6 guard averaged 22 points, 5.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, and one block shots as Rutgers tallied a pair of wins this week. He became the second Scarlet Knight in Rutgers history to score 20-plus points in the first three games of his freshman year, the first to do so since Phil Sellers in 1972. He earns his first Freshman of the Week award. The last Freshman of the Week went to Ron Harper Jr. in 2019. Oddly enough, there you go. Brothers sharing honors. Now, this week we saw Pitino. We saw the Pitino showdown, dad versus son. And the St. John's fans were out there giving their who's your daddy chant. Not who's your daddy, but who's your daddy. And Rick Pitino seemed quite upset with his fans doing that to his son. He said, "I don't get upset at the crowd. I just wish they would stop saying that." And I got to give Richard Pitino far more credit. He laughed it off. He said, I laughed it off. I didn't think much of it. This is what our obnoxious New York fans do, and I'm part of it. I respect him for seeing the – I mean, that's going to happen. You can't expect to head into your dad's house, just your dad and his team's house, and not get absolutely – torn apart for it by the other fan base. Richard Pitino knows what he's doing. Rick, come on, man. You know what you're doing. Come on. You've been around long enough, man. You know how it is. All right. Jalen Rose is joining NBC Sports as a Big Ten basketball analyst, the New York Post's Ryan Glasspiegel reported. And, I like this. I like this. I like what Jalen Rose brings to color commentary, what he brings to all of his insight. I would like for him to just spill all the beans on his recruitment and all that. But I mean, maybe he has. Nonetheless, awesome to see such a character joining the Big Ten side of the basketball coverage out there. Gary Parrish this week released his top 25 and one on Monday, and he had moved up Purdue to number 8. Indiana at number 14, number 17, Wisconsin, number 20, Ohio State, and number 24, Rutgers. As other talking heads out there on the national level, Rothstein updated his Rothstein's 45. He has Purdue sitting at number 5, and the skinny on them, Trey Kaufman-Wren, broke out against Alabama with 26 points and 8 rebounds. He has Indiana at 15, with the skinny on them being the most talented roster in the Big Ten. He has Oregon at 28, the skinny on them. Supreme Cook's return will boost the front court. He has Ohio State at 29, the skinny on them, has 43 assists and 40 turnovers. Illinois, the skinny on them. Alabama looms on Wednesday in Birmingham. Just a few more on there, but we can move on. It was a slow news week, guys. I'm trying to provide something for you here. My updated power ranking. So, slow week, let me present them. How I'm going to do power rankings, as I will periodically do here on the show, I'm going to present 10 because I'm not presenting 18. I'm not going to try to make heads or tails between the 16th and 17th team in this conference. So number 10, I have Ohio State. They lost to Texas A&M, sure, but I still like what they've shown out of the gate. They have some nice wins, or they've been winning in a nice fashion, and I can respect what they've done so far, other than that Texas A&M loss. Number 9, Michigan. A lot of the same for them. Number 8, Oregon. Oregon, I would have higher, but that Portland game was dirty business. I don't think the roster should ever play to the extent that they're going into overtime with Portland. Number 8, Oregon. Number 7, Iowa. Iowa, just because this is my portion of the power rankings. Iowa, number 7, because they haven't messed up yet. Number 6, Michigan State. Largely because they haven't messed up yet, except for losing to Kansas, the number 1 team in the country. But I don't think they're number 1. But nonetheless, they can't be knocked too hard for losing to a number 1. I don't think Kansas is the best team. Not even close. Number 5, I have Rutgers. It's not that I trust Rutgers more than I do Iowa or Michigan State. It's just the hype they have right now and the what I don't know about them. If there's a night where Dylan Harper goes off, like they can win any game. So Rutgers, number 5. Number 4, Illinois. Number 4, Illinois. They kind of had a slow start in that first game, but every game since, they are putting up massive numbers on people. Defensively, yeah, sure, they'll be tested once Big Ten play starts, but right now their offense looks pretty incredible. Number 3, Wisconsin. John Tonjes is a monster. He was able to get to the line that much. Of course, that was the game plan. Once they saw it was working, they just spammed it to oblivion and were able to get the very impressive win. Number 3, Wisconsin for that win, largely. And number 2, Purdue. Purdue looked really good against Alabama. I knew that Alabama relying on the three-point shot and dunks was not going to have too much success at Mackey if they were counting on, because they weren't shooting well in the season, but if they were counting to find their three-point shooting in Mackey, like, count again. It's not going to happen. So, Purdue, number 2. Number 1, Indiana. Until we have a reason to be removed from here, Indiana. I think that this team has the most talent. I think that the team we saw in South Carolina, I trust that if we can bring that attitude game in, game out, we're number 1, baby. Other pieces of news. Last recruiting note, we knew we were out, but Kion Anthony has committed to Syracuse. Just something to note for you. And lastly, I wanted to get to some of the results from the last week of Big Ten games. Now that we are an 18-team conference, I'm not going to break or just give the quick rundown of every game since our last recording, as I did last season, which was crazy. We only had 4 less teams. I'm just going to be selecting games that I thought were pertinent, important to the conference, or just said something about the team that was playing in them. And yeah. So with their win over Alabama, like, Purdue extended its win streak last night against top 10 opponents. And they've now gotten a streak going of more than double the next team. That is their winning streak against top 10 opponents. It was a really impressive win. Makes the conference look good. I appreciate them for doing it. Yeah, and then you saw, I already recapped, John Tonjes went 21 for 22 from the line on his way to 41 points for Wisconsin to beat Arizona. There was an interesting matchup in L.A. as the Cal Berkeley Bears went to USC. In the name, Andre Stojakovic scored 20 points as California won 71-66. I wanted to say that this California offense is not good. This California team is not good. This USC defense is very bad. Very bad. On top of this game, they also gave up 95 points to UT Wilmington, I believe. Embarrassing results for the Trojans this week. As far as Maryland goes, Marquette beat Maryland 78-74 in that game. Derek Queen with an impressive 24.7 rebounds on 9-for-13 from the floor, and he is absolutely taking over that campus. He has to be big man on campus because he's everything they got going for him right now. Interesting to see once we get more size, once we see him bruise against Big Ten front courts. We'll see if these numbers continue. I have no reason to believe they won't. He's been playing incredibly. All credit to him. Texas A&M beat Ohio State 78-64. That one was pertinent just because Jake and the Deeblers have been red hot. It was unfortunate to see Texas A&M cool them off, but they can bounce back. There's plenty of time. Yeah, there's a quick, just nasty, disgusting little whip around the few teams I wanted to talk about, the few results. Let's get into the Flaunted and the Daunted for the week. Number one on your Flaunted, as he has been a part of this every week since I've been doing the Flaunted and the Daunted, Kurt Cignetti, for getting paid. Kurt Cignetti, let the SEC say what they want. You know, I wanted this side note. Let the SEC say what they want regarding Indiana football, whatever. Because we're going to be making it irrefutable. I'm convinced we just win the Big Ten title now and watch 7-4 LSU, who lost to USC, by the way, or whatever, just realize they're absolutely cooked. You can't not keep out an undefeated Indiana who also wins the Big Ten title. So Kurt Cignetti getting paid and leading this team to a Big Ten title. I see it. Other flaunted, the Big Ten basketball looks good. We're so back. The SEC sucks. The Big East sucks. Big Ten basketball flaunted. Great wins for, Wisconsin and Purdue doing their part, making the Big Ten look good. Flaunted, fun backcourts. I'm going to put fun backcourts on the flaunted this week because that was fun basketball to watch. That was exciting. That was fast paced. The Indiana Hoosiers were looking to run and they had the talent and the skill to run. I fun backcourts, flaunted. Derrick Queen, I'm going to put him on here. Out of the gate, Derrick Queen is flaunted. He's going to be the Big Ten freshman of the year, barring a bunch of injuries to us that would make Bryson Tucker play like 35 minutes a game. But no, probably one of the Rutgers players, whatever the case. I'm putting Derrick Queen on here because Big Ten freshmen are balling out right now. He's going to be the representative of them, I guess. You know, that's all I got for you. Flaunted. Let's throw Miles Rice on there. Miles Rice, flaunted. Daunted. Let's go to your daunted. ESPN and other SEC propaganders. Good luck convincing the public a four-loss LSU deserves to be in over the Big Ten champion Hoosiers in about 4 weeks' time. Good luck. Daunted. Also daunted, USC giving up 95 points to UT, who gives a shit, and then losing to Cal Berkeley. USC, daunted. Purdue football, 49-10, loss at home to Penn State. Record fifth straight appearance for Purdue football here on the daunted list. Purdue football, daunted. Also final daunted, not Purdue basketball. I'm going to say good win for the conference, but you're the absolute worst. I'm not going to put them on the flaunted, but I will put them here and say not Purdue basketball is daunted this week. That's the best I can do for them. On to Burt's Big Five. All right, anyone new to the show, this is Burke's Big Five. This is where I present, just in my opinion, the best something related to the Big Ten. Last episode, I believe it was Big Ten-related musicians, just anyone with a connection to a Big Ten school, ranked my top five. This one, I'm going to be doing the top five Big Ten basketball coaches of all time, in my opinion. This is my opinion, so have fun arguing my opinion. Number five, I have John Beilein. Record at Michigan, 278-150. Coach from the years 2007 to 2019. 9 NCAA tournament appearances, 2 Big Ten regular season titles, 2 Big Ten tournament titles, 2 Final Fours, and 1 Big Ten Coach of the Year. My number four is Wisconsin's own Bo Ryan. Record at Wisconsin, 364-130. Years coach, 2001 to 2015. And among his achievements, 14 NCAA tournament appearances, 4 Big Ten regular season titles, 3 Big Ten tournament titles, 2 Final Fours, and 4 Big Ten Coach of the Years. My number three, Big Ten, all-time Big Ten coach, in my opinion, Gene Keady. Gene Katie with the record at Purdue, 512-270. Coach from the years 1980 to 2005, 17 NCAA tournament appearances, 6 Big Ten regular season titles, 7 Big Ten Coach of the Year awards. Not too many, not too much to talk about in past the tournament appearances, but still one of the all times for sure. Number two, John Wooden. John Wooden. Yeah, I'm going to put on the West Coast Invaders here. John Wooden coaching for the overall record of 664 to 162. That includes 12. I can really talk about, 10 national championships. That includes 10 national championships. He's number two for that. That is 15 times Pac-12 champion. And he's number two for dirty recruiting practices that Bob Knight would condemn. Speaking of which, number one, Bob Knight, of course. Indiana's own Bob Knight, 662 with 239 losses, coaching from 1971 to 2000. This man hauled in an impressive 24 NCAA appearances, 11 Big Ten regular season titles, 5 Final Fours, 3 national championships, and 5 Big Ten Coach of the Year. And again, he did it all the right way. Looking at you, John Wood. Let's get on to the preview of the UNC Greensboro game, and then we'll get you on out of here with a Hoosier history hit. This Thursday, 6:30 p.m., on Fox TV coverage at Assembly Hall, Indiana will be taking on UNC Greensboro. UNC Greensboro is currently sitting at 2-1 on the season. Currently on Torvik's rankings, they are ranked number 177 with the 177th overall offense and the 188th overall defense. As far as their key players go for this upcoming game, Kenyon Giles is their 5'9", 170-pound transfer from Radford. This guy has averaged 14.3 points and 2.8 assists last season for Radford. He is currently averaging 16.3 points a game and 2.3 assists for the UNC Greensboro Spartans. At that height and earning the second most minutes per game in the team, it just tells me he's a baller and somebody to watch out for. If you're earning play time in college basketball at 5'9", you got some handles, you got a clip, you can do something on the court. I just trust that. So he's definitely circled on mine just because he's a starter at that height. That's someone to look out for, especially in Assembly Hall where guys like that have career nights. And the other key player for this one for me personally is Jalen Breath. Currently, he is averaging 9.7 rebounds or 9.7 points, 7 rebounds, all on 64.7 shooting from the floor. This 6'8 forward, he is a rarity these days in that he spent all 3 seasons on the same mid-major. It seems like a lot of these guys, if they aren't like getting the right run, if they aren't getting their chance to go play somewhere else, they're out of there. A rarity these days. Jalen Breath, someone to look out for. He looks like he is the force in that front court for the Spartans. The 3-point shooting for the Spartans currently sits at 29 for 73 from deep on the season. That is a 39.7% clip. A nice shooting number that, teams that shoot nice oftentimes tend to shoot incredibly well in Assembly Hall. We just need to keep going over on those screens, and this Indiana backcourt needs to pressure shooters more. I mean, I didn't really talk about it in the recap, but we still had open threes given. Like, if South Carolina were shooting at a higher rate, that could have been a problem. It could have. It wasn't, so we didn't really have to address it, but less open shooters. It shouldn't be this hard to just... it just seems like there's far too many open shooters than should be warranted week after week, but yeah, nonetheless, 3-point shooting, they are going to be, I'm rambling there. 3-point shooting, they are going to be a team to look out for because they are shooting it very well. Let's just quit going under the screens and limit open chances, please. That's all I ask. looks like the going height for their big men rests about 6'8". We should dominate the interior if they don't look to just out-hustle the Hoosiers altogether. Indiana, while I say we should dominate the interior, I hope it looks a lot more free-flowing and more fluid than it tends to a lot of the times against these opponents. I don't want this to be a case of over-the-top passes where four are watching one. I don't think that'll be the case. I think that this South Carolina game can go a long way in building the cohesion of this entire Indiana team. Like they looked really impressive against a bigger opponent, the biggest on our non-conference. And I think that it can carry on into here, and hopefully we can carry it on through here into the battle for Atlantis. And I'll be here to preview that one. I'm working on something for that. So I'll be previewing that on next week's episode. Please stick around for that. If you haven't subscribed, that's just me dropping this here. So subscribe, like, whatever the case may be, comment, blah, all that stuff. Let's get on to the Hoosier history hit. My source for this Hoosier history hit is honorsandawards.iu.edu. And this is on Elliott Baker. Born December 15, 1922 in Buffalo, New York, Elliott Baker graduated from Indiana University in 1943 with a BS in business. Following a short professional baseball appearance with the Cincinnati Reds, Baker joined the United States Army and served as an infantry rifleman until discharged in 1946. His writing career began with playwriting, eventually having a number of plays produced in the new medium of television on both CBS and NBC. His first novel, A Fine Madness, was published in 1964 by G.P. Putnam. It was subsequently made into a film with the screenplay by Elliot Barker and starring Sean Connery and Joanne Woodward. Among his other works are The Penny Wars, which was adapted for Broadway in 1969, Pocock and Pitt, Flint's Law, and We Were Young. He also produced film and television adaptations of several plays. In 1997, Baker was honored with the President's Medal for Excellence at Indiana University for making a positive and profound impact on the literary field. He died of cancer in 2007. That was your Hoosier history hit. Just wanted to shine a light on Elliott Barker, a lauded literary figure from Indiana University. Let's get John out of here. That's all I got for you on this one. Thank you so much, Hoosier fans, for tuning in to the Often Daunted podcast, a part of the College Huddle Network. If you haven't given them a follow, go ahead and give them a follow. That is the College Huddle Network. If you haven't given me a follow, it's across all socials at Often Daunted. Please, if you like the show, feel free to subscribe. If you like the audio version of it, leave me a review. 1 through 5, go ahead and leave your opinion. I want the critical analysis because I want to make the show better. My entire thesis on the show is each episode better than the last, and I just want to continue to improve it. This is me. This is my favorite hobby, just maintaining this, seeing how I can make it a little better each time. I appreciate you guys for all the engagement, whatever you do. Thank you for tuning in again. I will be back on here next week, recapping this game, also providing a preview for the battle for Atlantis. Time to get hyped for that one before the Hoosiers head to the Bahamas. We'll be right back here. Please feel free to tune back in. You and yours, take it easy, Hoosier fans. God bless each and every one of you. Lux et Veritas. Take it easy.